They shall be my finest warriors. These men who give of themselves to me. Like clay, I shall mold them, and in the furnace of war, forge them. They shall be of iron will and steel sinew. In great armor I shall clad them, and with the mightiest weapons they will be armed. They will be untouched by plague or disease. No sickness shall blight them. They shall have such tactics, strategies, and machines that no foe can best them in battle. They are my bulwark against the terror. They are the defenders of humanity. They are my space marines, and they shall know no fear. Conflict involving genetically modified warriors, such as Dread War Whites and Ironsides, had been a constant for thousands of years on ancient Terra, as part of the wars between the techno-barbarian tribes and the tyrant lords of city-states. The Emperor's own gene-hanced soldiers, the Thunder Warriors, named for the thunderbolt and raptor's head heraldry of their master, proved superior to them all during the wars for unification. The Thunder Warriors were the first open display of the Emperor's strategic and scientific genius. They were unprecedented in their physical strength and endurance, and had been gene-programmed to be resistant to both biochemical and psychic warfare. They were an army unlike any that came before them. But despite their many victories in the unification wars, they were far from perfect. Suffering from both mental and biological degeneration, as their own superhuman physiques turned against them after an unpredictable span of years, in what is speculated to have been a planned and programmed obsolescence. It seems obvious in retrospect that the Emperor knew early on that a more permanent and stable force of enhanced warriors was needed. So, even while the Thunder Warriors waged war in their early days, the Emperor gathered about him an order of savants and gene rites, and constructed new genetic laboratories deep in the vast dungeons of his fortress. Labor there went on for decades in absolute secrecy to create the Legions Astartes, the Space Marine Legions. Into their creation went all the secret history and the lore of the Age of Strife, hard wisdom gained through the successes and failures of the prototype Thunder Warriors and the Emperor's own inimitable genius. The Emperor's Legions Astartes project created an army of toughened warriors, iron of arm and of will, that were unflinchingly loyal to him. Quickly, the process was refined and systemized, and the numbers of these new enhanced warriors, at first armed and armored as the Thunder Warriors had been, grew swiftly. They were organized into 20 regiments. The regiments expanded rapidly into 20 legions of thousands of warriors, with the intake of new blood from the areas of Terra that had already joined cause with the Emperor. These legions eclipsed the Thunder Warriors, and soon were armored in unadorned gray ceramide battle plate, becoming known as the Angels of Death, and each competed with the others to earn honors, glories, and eventually names and heraldry of their own. With his legions Astartes, victory followed victory in quick succession, becoming a righteous crusade, and the Emperor became the single ruler of Terra, the first in uncounted millennia. Once old Earth was unified, the Emperor's ambition turned to the stars, and with his Space Marine legions, he subdued the Gene Whites of Luna, forced the Mechanicum of Mars to sue for peaceful unity, and brought the Saturn Ordos and Jovian shipyards under his banner. With Sol unified, the Space Marines confirmed their destiny as the principal fighting force by which the Emperor would liberate the galaxy from the depredations of the alien and the malignancy of superstition and oppression. Before the Legion's Astartes project, the Emperor engineered many wonders in his secret labs on Terra. Foremost of these were the Primarchs, of which there were 20. Each uniquely crafted by the Emperor's own hand, and rumor has it, concocted from his own genetic stock. They were imbued with his majesty, and only made possible through his prodigious and artful mastery of otherwise long-lost science. Although it remained a secret at the time, the division of the Space Marines into 20 legions was more than mere coincidence. For each legion contained variant gene seed encoding drawn from a different primogenitor Primarch. This gene seed often manifested in subtle ways, not least of all in influencing the psychological character of the remade and enhanced warrior to align with their primogenitor. That there is a sure link between the Primarchs and their legions suggests that their existence was crucial in the invention of the Space Marines. For reasons unknown, the Primarchs were scattered across the galaxy in their infancy, and it was the Emperor and his legions who would recover them in the course of conquering long-lost human worlds during the Great Crusade. Indeed, so strong was this bond that as the Primarchs were encountered, their Space Marine sons were compelled to obey their every word. They were the natural and obvious leaders of the legions, with whom they had so much in common. Becoming a warlord master to shape and lead that legion to greater glories. Whether it was the Emperor's plan that they would be his godlike generals from the start, or whether they were merely a byproduct of the experiments that resulted in the creation of Space Marines, will forever remain unknown. The discovery of the Primarchs may have even saved the legions, for over many years of campaigning, and due to attrition, losses, and overuse, the gene seed inherent to the Space Marines had become unstable, and it was ever more difficult to create warriors on the scale required by the Great Crusade. Yet, with the use of the Primarch's own genetic code, the gene seed could be stabilized, and stocks expanded to create Space Marines faster than ever before. In many cases, The Primarch's adopted worlds also became the new base of operations, or homeworld, for their legion. The Primarch's recruiting from its people into the ranks of their legion. However, as dark speculation would have it, these accelerated gene seed techniques, along with inadequate psycho-indoctrination, may have led to later, unexpected flaws in some legions, which paved the way for the horror that was to come. A Space Marine Legion is a frontline force of shock infantry comprising tens of thousands of super warriors armed and equipped with the finest war gear the Imperium can supply. Each member of the Legion's Astartes carries the martial worth of many times their number in terms of regular troops. Each and every one is a killing engine. Tireless, faster, stronger, braver, more disciplined, and clearer sighted. Together, in disciplined order, the power of the individual Space Marine is amplified to incredible levels, and a force of hundreds can quell a city in hours. Thousands together can conquer worlds in days, and tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands wielded at once have been able to doom entire species and reduce civilizations to mere dust and memory in a span no greater than the single course of Terra's orbit around its sun. Much of the organization of the early legions owed greatly to the ancient and proven Terra patterns of strategy, hierarchy, and function as laid down in the revered texts of the Principa Bellicosa of Roma, and the Emperor's own genius, which added an adaptable strategic framework that spoke to the fundamental strengths and superhuman abilities of the legionnaires themselves. The chain of command was simple and direct, and the legion's officers, themselves mighty warriors, would lead them into battle personally, as had long been the wont of the techno-barbarian tribes of Earth, and the battle would be taken always to their enemy, because to defeat an enemy was never enough for the Legion's Astartes. Only the utter destruction of a foe was victory. Of these 20 legions, each steadily expanding in numbers over time, 18 would survive to grow in vast forces. As to those that did not, nothing can be said in this record. Each legion had grown to be a powerful military force in its own right, with its own supporting fleet to carry it between the stars, and many times its number in servants, supporters, and auxiliaries who lived and died at the behest of its commanders and Primarch. These fleets and armies were split into dozens of battle groups, operating independently to prosecute the victories of the Great Crusade. Taken together, the 18 legions represented an unmatched apex of force unequaled in the galaxy. Over the 2 centuries of the Great Crusade, the Terran legions would evolve in innumerable ways. Influenced by the worlds they recruited from, and by customs and hierarchies which developed and flourished within them. with the finding of the Primarchs, who stamped their own personality and will unto their legions. Entire paradigms of culture, tradition, and even ideology were overwritten. The legions' regimens of training and indoctrination each became hugely divergent, and many legions abandoned the strictures, doctrines, and terminology of the Principia Bellicosa to reform into fighting bodies adapted to a favored style of warfare. By the end of the Great Crusade, the legions had their own distinct character. These unique divisions from the once united body of the legions Astartes would birth rivalries and, over time, feuds, which would be exploited with the advent of the Horus Heresy. The Space Marines of the legions Astartes are an awe-inspiring spectacle for any mortal to behold, a fact that brought about the bloodless compliance of numerous worlds throughout the Great Crusade. Legions Astartes' vehicles are slab-sided and brutal of aspect, and the weapons a legionary bears are of equal scale to their overlarge physiques. But most distinctive and fearsome of all are the many marks of power armor in which the legions are clad, serving as much to cow the foe as to protect the wearer from harm. The early legions Astartes were oft named the Grey Legions, for they went to war in imposing armor of cold gray, unadorned save for the Emperor's thunderstrike symbol of unity, and an ordinal number denoting the bearer's legion. Over time, legions gained their own marks of distinction and names. Emperor given, in some cases, came to replace numbers, with many companies seeking to single themselves out from their brothers. Battle honors were accumulated, and the effect of each legion's character worked upon them, so that as the legions expanded to conquer the galaxy, Stormcloud Gray became Granite, Silver, Viridian, Iron, Sable, Gold, Ocean, Ash, or Ice. And by the time of the triumph at Olinor, the Grey Legions of Unity were gone, lost to history. As various as the colors taken by the Space Marines or the suits of armor they wore. During the Unification Wars, the armor the first Space Marines wore was not new, but the same partially powered and enclosed plate armor that had evolved on old Earth and was worn by the Emperor's Thunder Warrior regiments. This Mark I Thunder armor was largely newly forged, but the Emperor's warsmiths also cannibalized many suits from their armories and the corpses of conquered foes. However, thunder armor had faded from use amongst the legionnaires Astartes, even before the Great Crusade was underway. As the Unification Wars slipped the bonds of old Earth and engulfed the entire Sol system, Mark I power armor proved itself unsuited to the nature of the mission for which the Space Marines had been created. Indeed, the rigors of combat upon the airless satellites of the Sol system called for a suit of fully enclosed battle plate equipped with its own air supply, made fast against extremes of temperature and vacuum, and hardened against the effects of radiation. As such, Mark I armor was largely relegated to ceremonial use, and only worn in battle during rare times of desperation. Mark II power armor was better suited to fulfill the needs of the Space Marines of the Great Crusade, and became the standard for all the legions as the Imperium ventured from the Light of Sol. However, the formulation of Space Marine armor quickly became a race of technological and functional improvement. And from the functional template of Mark II, many more variants of power armor were developed. It is notable that throughout the years of the Horus Heresy, the numerous classes of weapons and war gear utilized by both sides remained remarkably consistent, with each legion having some access to every mark of armor from Mark II through Mark VI to some degree. Indeed, the spread of Standard Template Construct System, STC information, and production imprints only appears to have hastened during the Horus Heresy. With the steady dissemination of knowledge between the Forge Worlds being accelerated during the course of the so-called Networked War, in which design schema was forcibly stolen from hundreds of both traitor and loyalist Forge fans and shared rapidly between forges of the same allegiance for strategic advantage. Furthermore, the vagaries and grand scale of logistics played a vital part in the utilization of various marks of power armor throughout the legions. During the Great Crusade, staging worlds would carry city-sized stockpiles of millions of suits of armor and countless munitions for the Space Marine legions. Upon returning at completion of a campaign, or simply when at last they paused long enough for supply ships to catch them up, the legions would be resupplied in mass from these worlds. Thousands of suits of armor would be issued at once in this manner, entire battalions setting aside their worn and damaged suits and taking up whichever marks were available for immediate supply. However, with the onset of the Horus Heresy, most of these staging posts would declare for either Horus or the Emperor, and were raided or destroyed by the opposing side. Supply lines became increasingly fraught as the Age of Darkness continued, with each and every cache of fresh armor being bitterly contested. The ubiquitous bolt gun. Even as the armories of the Legions Astartes were issued with new marks of power armor throughout the Great Crusade and the Horus Heresy, so too were they swelled with numerous other marks and patterns of equally essential equipment. Most notable of all such advances are those applied to the standard firearm of the Space Marines, the ubiquitous bolt gun. Broadly speaking, each mark of Legion's Astartes power armor was issued around the same time as a corresponding new pattern of the bolter, and in many cases especially during a mass post-campaign, legion-wide resupply, they were issued at exactly the same time. Thus, it was common to witness Space Marines clad in Marks II or III power armor, bearing the distinctive Phobos pattern bolter, while later on, it was common for those issued with Mark IV Maximus suits to be issued the Tigris pattern bolter alongside it. By the time Marks V and VI were in widespread use, the Umbra pattern bolter was being manufactured in vast quantities, and this would serve as the iconic pattern of Legion's Astartes bolter for many years to come. Despite these broad alignments of development and supply, however, there existed no formal regulations prescribing that certain marks of armor be combined with certain marks of bolter, or indeed any other item of war gear. Indeed, after unification with Mars, attempts were made to replace the bolter with more advanced Volkite weaponry. And while many companies adopted this change, Volkite weaponry was too complicated to manufacture in mass, limiting its supply, and too difficult to maintain in the field for the legions to accept it wholesale. Rather, the Horus Heresy was a time of chaos and anarchy, where brother fought brother with whatever weapons were literally to hand. Mark II Crusade Armor. Mark II was the epitome of Space Marine power armor, a void-sealed and radiation-shielded suit of battle plate able to withstand an unprecedented degree of punishment. It was able to function effectively for days, if not weeks, without resupply, and housed an advanced sensory and communications array. However, the true strength of power armor is the interface of connections it shares with the black carapace implanted beneath the skin of a Space Marine, allowing the armor to synchronize with their reflexes. So successful was Crusade armor that all subsequent forms of power armor would build upon the template of advantages it established. At the height of the Great Crusade, Mark II was predominant, many millions of suits being manufactured on Mars and elsewhere for service in the legions. For the greater part of the two centuries for which the Great Crusade waged, Mark II plate was synonymous with the Legion's Astartes, the Imperium, and the Imperial Truth. Even though the mortal multitudes of the Imperial Army outnumbered the transhuman Space Marines 1,000 times over, it was the grim visage of the Mark II helm that was at once the sum of all fears and all hopes to the scattered tribes of humanity, dependent on whether they chose to oppose or to welcome the coming of the expeditionary fleets. By the closing decades of the Great Crusade, Mark IV power armor had supplanted Mark II in many legions. But several factors converged to keep it in service long beyond the point when the new mark might have rendered it obsolete. One is a simple matter of logistics writ large upon the galactic scale. With legions which had pressed the furthest into the outer darkness, forced to draw upon existing reserves of Mark II, simply because newer patterns had yet to reach them in great quantities. Certain legions retained Mark II for its reliability and for its history of service, unwilling to trust to the newer patterns. Yet, another reason reveals the great web of the War Master's treachery. In allocating new resources and technologies, Horus supplied first and foremost those legions which he favored, securing in his dark genius stockpiles of arms and armor in preparation for a protracted war in which lines of supply would be bitterly contested. Mark III Iron Armor. Iron armor is a specialized up-armored variant of Mark II plate. In general, wherever Mark II was in heavy use, large stocks of Mark III would invariably be found as well. Yet even in those legions which displayed a predilection for later marks, iron armor found use in the role for which it was primarily conceived, that of heavy frontal assault. Mark III was deployed primarily for ship-to-ship boarding assaults and conflicts which took place in other zones mortalis, such as underground fortress bunkers, the bowels of hive cities, or tunnel arcologies. The heavy armor plating affixed to the front facing of Mark III armor was ideal for such cramped confines where maneuverability and speed mattered less than sheer durability. There were many legions which displayed a marked preference for this pattern over the others, even after newer marks had become available. In particular, the Imperial Fists and Death Guard were known to favor Mark III armor, finding it especially suited to the grinding and relentless war zones of siege operations, boarding actions, and hostile environments in which they were markedly proficient. Other legions too, such as the Space Wolves and Dark Angels, are known to have made particular use of Mark III, perhaps because its bellicose nature matched their own, as much as any specific tactical or strategic necessity. Mark IV Maximus Armor. Intended to be the exemplar of power armor, Maximus armor provided greater agility to its wearer without sacrificing the durability of Mark II power armor. Mark IV was in mass production at the time of the Horus Heresy breaking out, and so had been issued to every single legion. With the benefit of hindsight, however, it is evident that the bulk of Maximus armor stocks had been diverted to those legions the War Master anticipated would follow him into treachery. The better, it is assumed, to equip them for the rigors of the war he had planned to unleash. Of note, the War Master's own legion, the Sons of Horus, made use of great quantities of Mark IV armor, along with the World Eaters, Night Lords, and Thousand Sons, who might have been ostracized from official supply chains but for Horus's granted boon. At the outset of the Horus heresy, Maximus armor was perhaps the most common pattern in use, though this was short-lived, as even the huge stocks of Mark IV issued to the traders in preparation for the war could not withstand the sheer destruction wrought through the long years of the Great Heresy. In time, other marks would come to replace it, particularly as many of its advanced components were incompatible with those of older marks, and as such could not be recycled as battlefield repairs or combined into new suits. Mark V Heresy Armor. The designation Mark V was a retrospective one intended to describe a broad class of ad hoc ersatz and field-modified power armor that saw ever greater use as the Horus Heresy progressed due to the difficulty many Space Marine companies had in obtaining replacement suits for those irreparably damaged in battle. Many much suits were scavenged as parts from battlefield casualties or taken as the spoils of war. As well as this improvised pattern, records show there was a production Mark V that the legions were able to manufacture in their own forges, or else otherwise obtain, falling back on common designs for parts that had specific cross-compatibilities, particularly based on prototype armors that were circulating amongst the legions for testing. In essence, the most common and recognizable form of Mark V power armor was a stabilized hybrids of elements of Marks 4 and 6, which could be locally manufactured or obtained from extant stocks, and which could be maintained even in the face of extreme lack of supply. Every legion made use of heresy armor in the heat of the Age of Darkness. Reliance on Mark V power armor was most prevalent in those detachments and legions far removed from their homeworlds or isolated from resupply, such as the Iron Hands and Salamanders amongst the shattered legions in the wake of the Istvan massacres, and amongst those who were most rapidly inducting new Space Marines into their ranks. Mark 6 Corvus Armor. Corvus armor, which entered service just before the outbreak of the Horus Heresy, was equipped with advanced auto-sensory technology and a more efficient power distribution system than Mark IV. Prototype forms of Mark VI armor were in circulation amongst many legions during the Great Crusade, with varying success. The Iron Warriors famously rejecting the pattern in favor of heavier armor. Many of the first suits, which were evacuated from the Martian schism, were issued to the Raven Guard, who favored them for their lightweight and stealthy profile. The Alpha Legion, too, is believed to have obtained an early schema for the production of Mark VI armor, and used it widely from the onset of the Horus heresy. By the later stages of the Age of Darkness, Mark VI was in wide use throughout almost every legion, for both sides were able to call upon Forge Worlds in possession of imprints to manufacture it. By the time of the Siege of Terra, Mark VI was fast becoming the most numerous pattern in service, seeing significant use among the Imperial Fists and Blood Angels legions as they prepared for the defense of Terra. And on the traitor side, it was worn in mass by the Emperor's children during the Siege of Terra. In the closing days of the Siege of Terra, the Loyalist would introduce yet another mark of power armor, Mark VII, Aquila Armor. This variant had its roots in developmental work undertaken in the last few years of the Horus Heresy, and was little more than experimental, even when it entered limited service. In the great scouring that followed, it would be Marks 6 and 7 which would enter mass distribution amongst the Loyalist. But such grim tales are the preserve of another volume.